Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Opposite of fear, oftentimes you'll come away thinking it is courage. The opposite of fear is courage. But courage is something that pushes through fear. The opposite of fear is not courage. There's something even greater that Jesus wants to give you that takes its place, right? Every time we express courage, it's because we're confronted with something tragic or something fearful, and we have to push through. What Jesus wants to do is replace that with something even more powerful. Take fear out of the equation for you. Is that really possible? I think it is, because if we look at the lives of the disciples, we find that in their story this morning, right after Jesus' death, where are they? They're locked away, both in a historical sense, but also metaphorically. They're locked away behind doors for fear. They're afraid of their environment. They're afraid of their own people. They're afraid of what could happen. They don't understand what happened to Jesus, and they don't understand what's going to happen to the future. Sometimes what happens in our lives becomes so traumatic, it becomes part of our identity, and we lock ourselves away in order to protect us from ever being hurt again. But into that world, Jesus comes, even behind the locked doors. That's why I think that in this story, John tells it, Jesus does not come in and knock on the door and say, "Will you let me in?" Jesus doesn't come and give the password or say, "It's me." He comes right through the locked door. Even in the midst of our own prison, he comes to seek you out, to offer you a new way of living. Now, how do we begin to do that? We recognize that Jesus comes to the disciples, to the 10. You remember, Thomas isn't with them, and Judas is already dead. So we have 10 disciples in this room when Jesus comes to them. But Thomas isn't there. And when Jesus comes and he introduces himself and says, "This is something new that is beginning," it tells us that the disciples were joyful. Their grief and their sorrow and their fear was replaced by joy. And they lived a new kind of life. When we begin to transform from fear to faith, when we begin to guide our future based on faith and not fear, we find that there's a joy that begins to well up. We have a mission and a ministry. I told them this morning, for those of you that were part of the garage sale, how many people really perceived the theological implications of what was happening? People from all kinds of backgrounds were working hard together in community. They were sharing. They were joyful. They were tired. They were exhausted. But they had a mission that was greater than themselves. They knew that they had something that God was calling them to do. How different is your life, your career, your possessions, if you say, "But God has called me to this mission. God has called me to this place." So often we're trying to prove ourselves. What do we learn about Thomas? What is it that we learn about him that we can apply to our own lives? The first thing that I want you to do, if you're going to combat fear, you want to do it with commitment. The first thing we recognize about Thomas is Thomas wasn't there. Thomas was so exhausted, he said, Thomas says, "I'm done with it. I'm done with this. I don't understand what happened to Jesus. I don't understand what happened to the whole message thing. If I don't understand it, then it can't be good. I'm done. I'm taking my toys and I'm going home." And he left. The problem is by not being a part of what is ongoing, what God has already started, even though we don't understand, we miss that first connection. John is very intentional by giving us time stamps on this message. He tells us that the disciples were behind a locked door on the first day of the week, which we would call Easter, in the evening. And Jesus comes to the disciples and he says, "Peace be with you," and they are overjoyed, for they have found the Lord. It also goes on to say it isn't until another week later that Thomas has an encounter. Now, for a whole week, the disciples are joyful. We have seen Jesus. He's alive. God is doing something new. We don't know what it is, but our hearts are filled to full and over joy. For a whole week, Thomas is grieving. Thomas is lost. He is broken. And if you've ever gone through a traumatic event, a deep grief, a personal grief, that is a very long week. That is a long week of suffering because he had lost his commitment. He stopped following through. In the beginning, it tells us that Thomas, also known as Didymus, why does John want us to know both the Hebrew and the Greek name? Because Didymus simply means the twin. And there's some discussion about whether, who, if you really want to know, here's something to study. Who is Thomas's twin? Which of the other disciples was Thomas's twin? But it's also a metaphor of this battle that is raging within Thomas between unbelief and faith. That within Thomas there is this push and pull. Which of those two is going to win out? Just like in Jacob and Esau. Which of those two is going to win out in his life? And many of us are living the same kind of thing. There's parts of us that really believe, they want to believe what God is doing. We want to be a part of his kingdom. And yet there's a part of us that is hesitant about what other people will think. And there's a battle that is raging between belief and unbelief. In him was this battle raging between what was going to happen. Because Thomas had left his commitment, he didn't have that first experience of the new life that Christ had in store for him. The second thing that we have to understand is that combating fear through our actions, about putting what we believe into practice. As soon as he comes to know who Jesus is, Jesus says simply, put your finger here, put your hand here, and believe. Begin to see it played out before you. When we begin to believe, even though it's not completely clear what's happening, when we put what we believe into practice, it strengthens us. I'm here to tell you that joy and happiness and service and gratitude and generosity cannot coexist with fear and anxiety and stress. They are incompatible. If you're feeling fearful about the future, you're feeling fearful about what's going to happen tomorrow, by serving other people, it replaces the place where fear resides. There's a story about a pastor many years ago who had one of his parishioners that was very depressed and said, my life has no meaning. It just seems to go on and on, and I'm just thinking suicidal thoughts. And the pastor said, well, you know, I don't really know how to help you, but I have a mission that I need somebody to do. It's very dangerous, and I wouldn't ask just anybody. But you're kind of in a very difficult situation. I was thinking that maybe you'd be willing to take this on. You have to take this medicine across the mountains into occupied territory where the refugee camps are. They said, well, I really don't have anything else to lose. I might as well take it. I might as well try. But in the process of going through that dangerous ground by facing his fears, he was able to recognize that his life did have value, that he was putting his life into practice and able to overcome the fear that life is meaningless. See, the more that we sit and just soak where we are and we don't get our hands messy with the life, fear takes up residence in our own hearts and we become fearful people. Fear says it is over, it is done. Sit down, be quiet, don't make any noise. Nothing good can ever come of this. Faith says it is just beginning. God is doing a new thing. You don't understand it. If you're fearful, you don't understand it, but God is doing something glorious. And we replace fear with faith. We often realize that life does not get better by chance. It gets better by change. We have to change some things in our lives. And that's what God is trying to do. And every time we think about change, we become fearful because God is growing us. He certainly was growing the disciples and Thomas. Did you realize that after this experience with Thomas, the story is, or the tradition is, that Thomas became a missionary to India, where in India he was martyred for his faith? Actually, the story is that he was filleted alive. Now, think about this. Thomas, the guy that we call Doubting Thomas, had that fear and anxiety replaced by boldness and faith in a way that is just beyond our imagination, because he recognized who Christ is in his life. Finally, we have to combat fear with worship. Thomas is the only disciple. In each of these cases, the disciples come and they say, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." He understands. He has made the bridge. He's made the connection. When you worship, you become like the thing that you worship, the thing that you admire. And when we come and worship, and we worship the glory and the grandeur and the majesty and the awe and the wisdom of God, then how can fear take up residence in our life? If we sing, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise," how can we say, "But I'm so fearful about tomorrow because God will abandon me"? When we gather for worship, we give over to God our fear and we take on his majesty and his awe and his wisdom. Jesus says in John chapter 14, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." Trust in me. If you trust in God, trust in me. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 27, the psalmists understand this. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" If you have God in your life, if God is your first person that you seek out, how can fear take up residence in your life? And yet, we often try to do it all on our own. And so I want you to leave you with this. The opposite of fear is not courage. The opposite of fear is peace. Fear is an emotion that just comes upon you when you don't understand. And you say, "I am out of control. I can't control this. I try and seek security and I want a comfort-free life." Peace is the realization that you never were in control. And it's okay that God is in control. Peace is the state where you no longer have to act courageously through fear because you realize there is no need. It is the calm, the rest, the inner tranquility where you don't confront fear because you realize that fear no longer exists for you. Notice what Jesus does when he comes to his disciples. He doesn't say, "Oh, you of little faith, where is your faith?" He comes and says multiple times, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. My peace. I want to give you a different kind of life." In John chapter 14, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace, a different kind of peace I give to you. I don't want to give to you as the world gives. I don't want to give you security. I don't want to give you confidence. I want to give you peace. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid." This morning as you sit there, I want you to think about what fear might be driving you, controlling you, manipulating you, identifying who you are, what you can and can't do. And I want you to think about Easter and looking at your fear through the lens of the cross and say, is there anything that we can't do in Christ? Is there anything God won't do for you? Remember the God, the creator of the universe, the one that threw the stars into heaven? Is there anything he will? And if you have God on your side, who can be against you? Why are you still afraid? What has fear ever done for you? And so the question that we began with, we will end with. What difference would it make in your life if faith and not fear determined your future? What difference would it make? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather this morning to feel your presence in our lives, to be restored and renewed and strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we are bold people proclaiming good news, for it's in Christ who comes to us and gives us hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.